Once upon a time, Christopher Columbus got credit for discovering the New World. These days, the Italian navigator is lucky to avoid blame for all the ills that have befallen two continents over the last five centuries. In other words, discovery isn't what it used to be. And when it comes to books, the dilemma of discoverability threatens to seize up the business for trade publishers and booksellers. Welcome, everyone, to our special Friday feature in CCC's podcast series. My name is Chris Keneally, and every week, Beyond the Book speaks with the editors and reporters of Publishers Weekly for an early look at the news that publishers, editors, authors, agents, and librarians will talk about when they return to work on Monday. Joining me today is Calvin Reed, senior news editor at PW and co-editor of PW Comics World. Calvin, welcome for the very first time to Beyond the Book.
Hi, Chris. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you join us because we are catching you just as you're heading out the door for Austin and a conference that's a legend in itself and one that I think almost everybody listening to, if they haven't been, dreams of going sometime. And that, of course, is South by Southwest. Now, you've been before.
Well, I was lucky enough to go to, as the locals say it, South By, for the first time last year, along with my colleague, Rachel Deal. And we're going back again. Our trip last year sealed the deal. We're going back this year, and we're going to be we're doing a Publishers Weekly panel, and I'll be moderating a panel as well.
Well, that's great development, and I think kind of is an illustration of the development that's been happening at South By. I mean, it was a technology show back in the day, not so much about publishing, but publishing becoming more of a technology business than ever. It's really appropriate that it be represented.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once they launched the interactive part of South By Southwest, technology, as we've seen, it turns up to be the kind of the perfect conduit for publishing, and so much of the presentations down there either are directly applicable to publishing or are an interesting way to look at publishing now.
Right. Well, you know, I'm put in mind when you look at the schedule of a quote from Mae West. She said something like, "Too much of a good thing is simply wonderful," and I think that may well apply to South By. Is that right?
There's a lot of good stuff, I describe it as an all-you-can-eat buffet of all things technical, technological. Just a great gathering of smart, interesting, you know, technological geeks talking about how technology applies to the world around you. Besides which, there's a few parties to go to as well.
Just a few. And along with the geeks is Calvin Reed, who's going to be moderating his, in addition to, I mean, of course.
That's okay. I consider myself a brother geek, yes.
Okay. At least for the time you'll be in Austin. Well, so you've got your own panel coming up, and it goes back to my intro there. It's on discoverability and the new world of book PR. Why is this a problem, and how is technology going to address it, and who will you have talking about that?
Okay, now this is a panel that I'm moderating as opposed to the panel that I organized, but we'll get to that one. But the panel that I'm moderating is Discoverability in a New World of Book PR, and we're going to be I'm bringing together a couple of Austin-based PR book marketing and promotional firms, and we're going to be talking with Hollis Heimbach, who the VP of HarperCollins, Rusty Shelton, CEO of Shelton Interactive in Austin, and Barbara Cave Hendricks, CEO of Cave Hendricks Communications. I'll be moderating, and really, we live in a world now, in a universe, an ever-expanding universe of books, e-books, apps. How do you, as a book publisher, as a self-publisher, or even as a retailer, how do you figure out, what books to read, what books to put in front of your customers, in a world seemingly of an endless font of book content? So there's the development of technology, of social media, has offered new tools to marketers and promoters, and we're going to talk about that and how publishers can make sure that their books are found in this new world of endless publishing.
Well, that's the panel you're going to moderate, Discoverability.
That's the panel I'm moderating, yes.
Yeah, Discoverability in the New World of Book PR. But then you mentioned that you also organized another one.
Yes, now I'm the organizer, but I won't actually be on the panel. But I work very closely with my colleague Rachel Deal, who is going to moderate the panel. And this is really the other part of that same question. As publishing has transformed the book world, the business arrangements, the business models, the how you come together to produce books, or content that may not look like the books that we're used to seeing. How do you produce it? What are the new business models that are actually rearranging, transforming the book? So we've brought together really, I think, a stellar panel of Swana McNair, who's a founder of Creative Conduit, and a kind of a new wave agenting figure who brings together all kinds of people to put together, in some way, Min Mei's transmedia projects and properties that go through various iterations in different, you know, different medias and different formats. Brian Altoonian, CEO of Wowio, which is a really unusual web ebook retailer that utilizes the freemium model, has a number of partner websites. They use user-generated content. They really have a whole new way of delivering content that in some ways is conventional, in some ways very unusual. Molly Barton, Director of Digital Publishing at Penguin, but also President of Book Country, an interesting new venture that essentially has set up a writers community, an online writers community, and self-publishing services module right alongside the conventional publishing model. And Jefferson Robb, who's the creative director of the Atavist, a very interesting startup that basically is trying to do journalism, long-form journalism, in a new way using multimedia, and they have created an app as well as a technology platform that they're licensing out to publishers to be able to easily do multimedia work. So we think that we can deliver a lot of information just about how the business models are transformed.
Right. Well, as you said, it's really quite the super buffet down there itself.
Yeah.
And we want to just sort of bring up very briefly a couple of others that caught the eye. The O'Reilly folks are having what they call a mini tools of change. There's a heck of a lot of interesting programs there. In particular, Brian O'Leary, a colleague of ours, talking about the opportunity in abundance, and several other people as well.
Yeah, well, obviously, O'Reilly Media's tools of change we live in a landscape now where there does seem to be a digital conference, once a month, including South by Southwest. But they have, really shown an ability to really bring together just kind of the key people who are talking and discussing and examining technology now. And they always put on a great show. And in addition to Brian, there's Dominic Raka and Muriel Sattar from BiblioCrunch, the sort of self-publishing ebook platform. They're actually going to be talking about gender diversity in some ways about how the female-saturated publishing industry may be able to bridge the gap with the female-challenged technological industry. Clay Johnson, author of The Information Diet, will be there, and a number of other speakers. So we're looking forward to dropping in on Tools of Change at South By.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you for that rundown, Calvin Reed. He is senior news editor at PW and co-editor of PW Comics World, first time here on Beyond the Book. But turning now to our regular Rose Fox, PW Reviews editor, who blogs at Genreville. Rose, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
And the question we ask you every week is, what books have you brought us this time?
We have a wide-ranging slate this week, starting off with the fiction section. We have The Legend of Pradeep Mathew by Shihan Karunatalaka. It's a debut novel with Grey Wolf about a mythical cricket bowler set against the backdrop of Sri Lankan politics. And the author has an advertising background, like Kurt Vonnegut, and also shares some sort of Vonnegut-like style. We are also covering Francesca Segal's The Innocents, a debut novel that shows how influence can, in the right hands, become inspired. So this is inspired by The Age of Innocence, and this contemporary novel takes place in a Northwest London Jewish community. We also have reviews of Anouk Markovitz's I Am Forbidden. We're going to be doing a profile of the author quite soon, and that is about a woman who grows up in a Satmar community. And this is the lead title for the newly revived Hogarth Press, so a lot of people are excited about that. And we're covering Nell Freudenberger's Newlyweds, Richard Ford's Canada, the author's first novel with Echo. We have a review of Overseas, which is a time-bending debut novel set in the present day about a female Wall Street analyst whose life becomes entwined with a mysterious billionaire investment genius. The twist is that they may have known each other before in World War I. And we have a Q&A with Wiley Cash, who's the debut author of A Land More Kind Than Home. It's a Southern Gothic that incorporates the oral storytelling tradition of Appalachia, with four laconic narrators alternating the telling, and ranging from a young boy whose brother dies mysteriously in a church service to an old woman who has left the church. In mystery and thriller, we have a debut novel, Red Cell, by Matt Henshaw. This is an espionage thriller, and it introduces a female CIA agent who joins a small analysis team as tensions rise between China and Taiwan. Our reviewer says the air and ship battle at the end is worthy of Tom Clancy. We also have Steve Ulfelder's The Whole Lie, the second in his series, featuring Conway Sachs, who's a recovering alcoholic, a Framingham auto mechanic, and a part-time investigator. And this time he has to help a candidate for lieutenant governor in the Massachusetts gubernatorial race who has a little John Edwards problem, that is to say, a love child in his past.
Oh, Massachusetts politics, always subjects of interest there, I guess.
Yeah, it never gets old.
Right.
It's like Chicago. You could just keep mining that vein forever. It goes all the way down.
Absolutely. And if you're straining to make something up, just read the Boston Globe and you'll get more inspiration.
It's true. And international politics, as always, also inspires a lot of thrillers. Right now, we have a Q&A in this week's issue with Mark Harrell Saunders, the debut author of Ministers of Fire. And that's about an intelligence agent in Afghanistan and China struggling to come to terms with how the world has changed after the events of September 11th, 2001. And Saunders explains why he explores the family histories of his spies and operatives. In science fiction, we have a great big Q&A. This one's a full page with Kim Stanley Robinson, who gives us an earful on putting joy and fun and optimism into his science fiction. And we also review his new novel, 2312, obviously set 300 years in the future, which really exemplifies that spirit of fun. And it's something you don't see in science fiction a lot these days. There's been a lot of sort of doom and gloom stuff and set in the very near future. And it's wonderful to see somebody just really being exuberant and having a good time. He has people surfing the rings of Saturn, that kind of thing. And we also review N.K. Jemisin's The Killing Moon. This is the start of a very promising new fantasy series set in a land based on ancient Egypt, and it blends magic, politics, and religion. She had a really remarkable trilogy that came out over the last couple of years and got her a lot of acclaim, so it'll be interesting to see where she goes with this new series. In romance, we have Grace Burroughs' fifth Regency romance. It's Lady Maggie's Secret Scandal. This continues her popular family saga, which has, I think, another two or three books to go, at least. We put her debut on the Best Books of the Year list a couple of years ago, and she has just earned star after star since then. And in comics, Alison Bechdel follows Fun Home with another fiercely honest autobiographical graphic novel. Say that three times fast. And this one is called Are You My Mother? And it's about her very fraught and complicated relationship with her mother. And our reviewer says it's maybe not quite as perfect as Fun Home, but still a really striking and brilliant work.
Well, in the nonfiction section this week, you've got a book that is essentially an environmental history, but takes as its starting point the human body.
Yes, the human body. That's a bit euphemistic of you, Chris. This book is called Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History. It's by Florence Williams, who's an Outside Magazine contributing editor. And she provides a serious environmental history of the human breast. And it's there's plenty of humor in there, but she also emphasizes how pollution and industrialization are damaging breasts around the world, whether it's from contaminants that can be passed on through breastfeeding or girls hitting puberty earlier, developing breasts earlier, and therefore being at a higher risk for breast cancer. We also review The Lost Bank by Kirsten Grind. This is an absorbing saga of the housing bubble and the failure of Washington Mutual. And she takes it both from the bank's perspective and from a very human scale. We cover Visit Sunny Chernobyl by Andrew Blackwell, which is an entertaining, appealing, and thoughtful travelogue through some of the world's most polluted places. And Love and Struggle by David Gilbert, which is a candid memoir of the imprisoned revolutionary's time with the Weather Underground and other organizations amid the tumult of the counterculture years. And we have a nonfiction Q&A with David Talbot, author of Season of the Witch, which I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago. And he says that his personal experiences informed his chronicle of 1967 to 1982 in San Francisco, which is obviously a time of significant change. We have a lifestyle section this week. Big book there is Fish, Recipes from the Sea by the editors of Phaedon Press. And this is an informative and flavorsome collection full of expert guidance on the preparation of seafood. And in the children's section, we have 6 picture books about Easter, 3 biographies of Steve Jobs for middle grade and young adult readers. I'm kind of surprised they took so long to come out with those, but they're all hitting the shelves now. And we also cover science fiction and fantasy author Nalo Hopkinson's first young adult novel, The Chaos, which mixes mythology and surrealism in a magical exploration of identity and image. And she has a very unusual heroine, a Canadian girl with Jamaican, black, and white heritage.
Well, I have to say, Rose, I smiled when I saw about the biographies for Steve Jobs. I was thinking that, you know, when I was in grade school, we were reading about Thomas Edison, and now this generation is reading about Steve Jobs. Quite a bit of progress in between. You've got a special annex this week and a book that looks at the history of Israel.
Yeah, in our online annex, Barry Rubin offers in-depth perspectives with encyclopedic breadth on the makeup of the Jewish state in a book called Israel, An Introduction. And he chooses to focus on the fabric of Israeli society instead of the controversy that surrounds it, which is an interesting decision. And combining sweeping references with didactic narrative, we have Evelyn Toynton's Jackson Pollock, which is a quotable and inspired contemporary portrait of the rock star of the post-war avant-garde in America. And finally, we have our pick of the week. This is another art-related book, but it's a novel. It's Manual of Painting and Calligraphy, the late José Saramago's first novel, translated into English for the first time by Giovanni Pontero Carcanet. And it's a meditation on the writing process and an insightful and meaningful work that will be especially welcomed by Saramago's devotees.
And for those listening who might not know the name Saramago, he is the Portuguese author that won the Nobel Prize and along with another Nobel laureate, Orhan Pamuk, gave rise to the idea of the European Writers Parliament.
I guess it didn't even occur to me that people wouldn't know who he is. But it's hardly, always good to give some context there.
I think we need to give our audience a little bit of space and to recognize that not everything is a household name. But as I must say, once again, with all those various names from around the world, Rose Fox, great job with that. And thank you, as always, for joining us with your review of the reviews.
You're very welcome, as always. I enjoy my weekly pronunciation challenges.
And let me ask you, your special magazine project, the 24-Hour Magazine, how did everything go?
Oh yes, I didn't mention this last week, but I'm still recovering. I joined the staff of 24 Magazine for 24 hours. We put together a magazine in 24 hours from start to finish, as in 10 a.m. last Thursday. We sat down and had an assignments meeting and a pitch meeting, and 10 a.m. last Friday we had a magazine, and it was just a a terrific experience, really exhilarating. 11 people from all areas of the arts. We had photographers, designers, a couple of people who are mostly dramaturgs, actually, and you know, of course, some experienced writers and editors, professional magazine designer who did the entire design himself for a 60-page magazine. I mean, we're not talking like a little leaflet here. And it was great. It was just wonderful. I mean, you lock 11 people in a studio in Brooklyn, and who knows what might happen. I think we were all expecting a sort of Survivor-esque atmosphere to come in around hour 20, and that never happened. We just got silly and giddy, and then we made it happen. So anyone who's interested in this can go to 24magazine.com, and the whole thing was funded through Kickstarter. That was the other amazing thing. We went into it knowing that we had the money for production, and also to pay all the contributors, which is a nice thing in publishing these days. So it was just a great experience, and I'm tremendously grateful to everybody who made it happen, especially our editor-in-chief, Sarah Eileen Hames, who had the original idea, and everyone who funded us on Kickstarter and tweeted about us and blogged about us, including Gabe Habash at PW's own PWXYZ blog, which gave us a nice little boost. It was just terrific, and it's a quarterly magazine, so I'll be doing it again in May once I've recovered.
I was going to say, you didn't learn the first time, then apparently you're going to go back for more. Well, Rose.
Well, it was just great, you know. As an editor, I got to work with these people who had a whole range of experiences. You know, I would work with one person who's a journalist who I've actually worked with before at another project, and I would be very hard on her and be like, "You're doing that thing that you always do, and you need to give your article an ending, and you know, go back and rework this. I know you can do better." And then I'd turn around and talk to one of the photographers who'd never written anything for publication in his life, and I would have to take an entirely different approach, encouraging him to write and to tell a story as though he were having a conversation, because he doesn't have that writing experience. I can't just say, you know, give me 1,200 words. And so to do that all at once, with a proofreading pencil in one hand and my mouse in the other as I'm copy editing, was just tremendous. It's just tremendous.
Well, it sounds like you really enjoyed it. Again, Rose Fox, thank you for that. And Calvin Reed, we enjoyed having you on the program, and we hope you have a terrific time down in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest. And hopefully we can get you back on again very soon. Calvin Reed, Senior News Editor at PW, Co-Editor of PW Comics World. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Chris. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Well, we look forward to that. We should tell everybody that Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, and now images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/beyondthebook. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.